Good morning. Pretty good. Let's try that again. Good morning, everybody. There we go. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to the Jacobus Ten Broeck Disability Law Symposium hosted by the National Federation of the Blind, Diversity in the Disability Rights, Working Together to Achieve the Right to Live in the World. I'm Mark Riccobono, President of the National Federation of the Blind, and I want to welcome you to the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute for this ninth law symposium. Let's see, how many people, by clapping your hands, have been at all nine symposia? Yeah, a few. How many are here for the first time? That's what we like, growth. Awesome, awesome. Well, welcome. Welcome back. For those of you who have been here for all of our gatherings, thank you to those who have made it to as many as you can, and welcome to our first-timers. This truly is a community we're building as we approach a decade of work in this area. To start off this morning, I do want to make sure that I acknowledge our sponsors and supporters for this law symposium. Our co-sponsors are at the platinum level, Brown, Goldstein, and Levy. We have gold sponsors of Rosen, Bean, Galvin, and Grunfeld, and also the AARP Foundation Litigation. You can apply for that. It's okay. We also have Whiteford, Taylor, and Preston at the silver level. The Burton Blatt Institute, Scott LaVar, the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center at the supporter level, Disability Rights Advocates, and the Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund. And last but not least, the ABA Commission on Disability Rights. This gathering has been organized, and the program is put together every year by a steering committee. Thank you to each of the folks who have participated on our steering committee. The steering committee, again, has always been led by, and has been led by this year again, Lou Ann Blake. Lou Ann is Deputy Director of our National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute. You will undoubtedly meet Lou Ann, or if you don't meet her, you'll see her running around getting things done. So thank you, Lou Ann. Also on our steering committee, we have Peter Blank, Charlie Brown, Mark Sharmatz, Robert Dinnerstein, Brian East, Tim Elder, David Furliger, Leslie Francis, Dan Goldstein, Scott LaVar, Jennifer Mathis, Mark Maurer, Mark Riccobono, and Megan Sadu. So thank you to our steering committee. In thinking about our ninth law symposium here, I think diversity is not a new topic for the Law Symposium. We've discussed it many times before, and diversity is a great rallying point for us. It also creates a great sticking point to help us stay together. You know, by coming together in the common bond that is equal rights and actively seeking diversity within our ranks, we create strength in what we do as a disability rights movement. We strengthen our ability to tackle the hard problems, and there are plenty of them out there. We gain perspectives that we might not have had otherwise, new strategies that come out of the diverse perspectives that we have, and we broaden the understanding that disability is not limited to a set of people, that its impact can come to anybody with any particular set of characteristics. And that our quest for equal rights is not just something that is limited to a particular subset of people with disabilities. In my world, they're referred to mythically as the super blind. Those are the folks that it's okay to have equal rights, but those other people with disabilities, no. We find from the diversity that we do, that's not true. That in fact, the diversity in the disability field strengthens us and helps us understand that it's not just a select few people with disabilities, but it's all people with disabilities that deserve the right to live in the world. And that's what Dr. Tenbrook, that's the common bond that Dr. Tenbrook started writing about 75 years ago when he established the National Federation of the Blind, and it's that common bond that also makes us stick together here in this disability forum, but also as we go out and we face the challenges that come against disability across the nation. Now, talking about diversity, though, challenges us a little bit, challenges us to ask hard questions and sometimes have some uncomfortable conversations. It also exposes our own misunderstandings about diversity and the characteristics that we all have. And so the opportunity for us to come together, share those perspectives, talk about them honestly, and how they impact our work on disability rights, I think, is really important. Developing those new perspectives. In the National Federation of the Blind, we know that blindness is not the characteristic that defines us or our future. And every day, we raise expectations of the blind. We don't claim to speak for anybody but blind people because we know we don't like people speaking for us. The fact that we can come together in a forum like this and discuss a diversity of disability topics is part of our understanding that although blindness is the area we know, we recognize that it's low expectations that prevents all people with disabilities from pursuing their dreams, and that by working together, we can expand the opportunities for all of us. And we find that a lot of our work today, and a lot of our victories today are informed by the work of this Disability Law Symposium and the diversity that we have been able to share through this forum. Just a couple of examples already from this year. It's only hard to believe April 1st is tomorrow, but only 3 months in. In the state of Maryland, we, a couple of years ago, found that people with disabilities didn't have equal access to absentee voting. The state said, that's okay, you can go to an accessible polling place, and that's good enough for you. We sued the state of Maryland to get access to absentee voting, not just for blind people, but for all people with disabilities. We won the first time, we won on appeal, and we think it won't go any further. So people with disabilities in Maryland now have equal access to all forms of voting. Well, at least as long as we keep at it. And the diversity of that case is part of what made it strong. The impact of technology in employment. We just had a great victory here in Maryland in a case for Yasmin Reyazuddin, who faced discrimination in employment because new technologies were put into the county that prevented her from having the same promotion and advancement opportunities as her sighted colleagues. Case for a blind person, but a case that has tremendous implications for all people with disabilities who are going to be facing technologies that might shut them out of employment simply because they're built to not be accessible. One of the many things we're working on. And finally, in closing my remarks, One of the most important fights I think we continue to have in 2016, and one that we may win this year, and that's the fight for equal pay, for equal work for people with disabilities. Nice that it's starting to get into the presidential debate, at least better than some of the other topics that have been bantered around. You know, this is not a new battle for us, but every day we are winning in terms of creating the understanding in the public that people with disabilities are productive employees and deserve the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as other workers. And earlier this year, we had a significant victory in Ohio against Seneca Riad, demonstrating that people with disabilities, in fact, do deserve the same protections under the law as other workers. And I am pleased that we have to chair this law symposium, a gentleman who has chaired all of the other symposia we have had. He is a key lawyer in our work in Ohio on the Seneca Riad case. You're going to hear about it later in this gathering. He has been working on disability rights for almost 50 years, and not just working on where the law is today, but where the law needs to go tomorrow. And it's a key component of what we do here at the Law Symposium. He helped to create this gathering and continues to be a force for moving it forward. To open our session this morning, I want to introduce you to our chair for this gathering, the immediate past president of the National Federation of the Blind and our director of legal advocacy and policy. Here is Mark Maurer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the kind words. Many of them are true, too. So, yeah. I have been here from the beginning of the law symposium process, and I have done things in the law with respect to disability long before that. So it's a great day to welcome all of you. I have the honorable and challenging task of chairing today, and if I may take just a moment, I have been told that there are some things that are required to be done, and first is an announcement, and it says there's a book available, The Future of Disability Law, Essays from the 2015 Jacobus Ten Broeck Disability Law Symposium will be on sale today during the morning break and during lunch and on Friday after the conclusion of the symposium. You can buy the book for $12 at the table next to the literature tables here in the members' hall. Luann told me to make this announcement. She said make it often, in fact. If you can find some of the authors, maybe you can get them to sign. It was a good symposium last year, and I'm very pleased that we have a book about it. We should go to the trouble of making some more books. Now, 25 years ago, I was coming to the convention of the National Federation of the Blind, of which I was the president of the organization then, and I was thinking about why we have such meetings. And it seems to me that one of the reasons that we have those meetings is the same that we're having this meeting. So I thought I'd give you a very small notion of what I was talking about then. And I said, in 1644, John Milton wrote, "Let truth and falsehood grapple. Whoever knew truth put to the worse in a free and open encounter." And then I went on to say that scholars of this eminence believe that a new idea is enough when it's a better expression of truth than was expressed by the old idea, and that ultimately the new idea succeeds. And I said, but we've had bad ideas and good ideas side by side a lot of times in our country and in other countries. And I thought, and I said, if the objective in seeking the truth is to achieve fairness and decency, and I believe it is, time and a new idea are not enough. Within the framework of time, there must be at least three components that come together. First, an idea must be conceived which contains an element of understanding that has not previously been reached. Second, a proponent of that idea must arise, a leader with the capacity to articulate the nuances in a way that will compel recognition. And finally, there must be a group of individuals prepared to defend what has been propounded. Such concert of effort is essential not only to protect the new thought, but to give it body and substance, to explore its full meaning and implications. And then I noted that in a fireplace, one log by itself won't burn. You have to have more than one. And the heat that is reflected from one log to another creates the flame. Consequently, my belief is that we come together today either to serve as the leaders who will express the ideas that may very well shape the future, or to assist those who express them so that there can be enough support to build that idea to make it a reality in the decades to come. This, in my opinion, is why we get together for these meetings. And because frequently we are talking to each other about the hopes and dreams we want to create, I find this a very joyous gathering, and it's a pleasure to welcome you all to it.